These are the words of Pursuit, a poem by Stephen Dobbins. Each thing I do, I rush through so that I can do something else. In such a way do the days pass, a blend of stock car racing and the never-ending building of a Gothic cathedral. Through the windows of my speeding car, I see all that I love falling away. Books unread, jokes untold, landscapes unvisited. And why? What treasure do I expect in my future? It's rather the confusion of childhood loping behind me, the chaos of the mind, failure chipping away at success. Glancing over my shoulder, I can see its shape still. And so I move forward as someone in woods at night might hear the sound of approaching feet and stop to listen. And then, instead of silence, he hears some creature trying to be silent. What else can he do but run, rushing blindly down the path, stumbling, struck in the face by sticks, the thing ever closer yet not really, hurrying or out of breath, it's teasing its kill. Each thing I do, I rush through so that I can do something else. When we sit down to watch a movie, with our popcorn and our drink, we see a story of moving images, all fooling our eyes and minds into believing that it's one piece. But it isn't. If we took that movie and we stopped looking at its projected image, but instead looked at its reality, at the thing itself in our hands, a videotape, we would see that it's made up of stills or frames, one unmoving picture after the next, images frozen in space and time. It's easy to make life imitate art, to rush through everything, to get to the next thing. These words ever feel true for you? When you get behind the wheel of your car in the movie of your life, has it become so automatic that even on the most beautiful day you look up and realize you're halfway home and you haven't seen anything? When you have 10 minutes to take a shower before one kid needs to be at practice, and another one needs to be back at school, and you have to be at a class or a party or an event, do you even feel the water on your back? Or smell your soap or body wash, the one that you picked out because it smelled so good in the store? Do you actually feel your washcloth? Or that nice comfy loofah you bought? Or are you done before you even realize you've begun? Right now, this frame, this minute, are you already waiting for the next word, the next thing? Is your mind going on ahead of me to what's going to come? Do you have a laundry list planning of things that you need to, got to, should do? What do you have to be ready for? What do you need to get ready for? What about today's coffee hour and lunch or dinner or bedtime or tomorrow? And the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, until you reach the last thing and you haven't felt the things in between. And it's easy to schedule self-care episodes on our already overflowing calendars. My Google Calendar looks like it exploded. And yet, while we meditate or paint or read or ski, how often do you catch yourself thinking, wow, this is great. I ought to do this more often. Now I'll be so relaxed so that I can do this and this and this and this. Right now, this frame, this moment, stop. Take a breath and feel it. Feel the air in your lungs. Smell the room with its fresh evergreen. Think about now. Feel your feet in your shoes. How long has it been since you've noticed them? Feel the cushion that you are sitting on. Take a moment to touch fabric around you, to actually feel with your fingertips something that you know as intimately as you know your own body. Experience the texture. Be here in this moment, not the next. Release the anticipation of what is to come. Float weightless and balanced in your body, knowing that this moment exists and contains within it, without you doing anything, the seeds of the next moment and what will come. How do we nurture those seeds, those frames that are still coming, and still experience the ever-changing now? Perpetual motion is not possible. You can only spin for so long. Muscles tire, eyes close, and brains fog. When I was a little person, maybe 2 or 3, the worst thing in the world used to happen every day at 1:30. I was dressed in comfy pajamas and put into my bed for the hideous and dreaded afternoon nap. And every day I cried and I kicked. I laid in bed with my arms like this and my little lips stuck out. And you could not have convinced me at that point that the moment I went to sleep, all the most marvelous things in the world weren't happening in the living room. I just knew that unicorns were dancing the cha-cha and handing out free ice cream. And there I was, trapped in a bed under a soft blankie. I could not understand that if I wanted to run in the yard as the sun went down, feeling the grass, catching some fireflies, eating that ice cream, that I had to be still in the daylight. What a thought. To keep moving, I had to be still. We are now moving into the still season of our year. Summer is many things. Heat and light, getting up early to get outside, to plant and mow the grass, maybe go biking and hiking and swimming. Kids are on vacation and sports are in full swing and the air smells like perfume. Many of us run from dawn to dusk and get back up to do it again, and it feels good. We're alive and growing. Autumn slows us down a bit, but we move forward and we crunch through leaves and we smell wood smoke in the air. We go to festivals, we take long walks, school's begun again, and we get things all ready for what is coming. And then we have winter. Cold and beautiful, with grass blades glittering with frost or hidden under white. You can taste snow and feel it in the air. Branches rattle in the trees instead of blowing gently. A season of rest for our planet. A nap in the middle of that tiring day. Now, I know that this is Wisconsin. Many of you nappers would be snoozing with snowshoes or skis on your feet, a wool cap over your ears so you can get outside as soon as you wake up. Understood. Many of you may have heard the phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, or as above, so below, or even each grain of sand contains a mountain. They all mean about the same thing. Small pieces of the universe imitate larger pieces. A child is like a parent. The course of a day mimics the course of a year. The seasons of a year resemble the seasons of a life. As Judy Collins says, winter is the time that winds the valley down, stills rivers in storm, freezes little brooks. It's the time when we slow to the sound of falling flakes, crackling flames, when stars are high in the sky and the earth dreams of the coming flowers. Winter is a dark and fallow time when motion is frozen, storm is stilled, the land is empty and waiting. But it's that darkness, that emptiness, that rest that lets the spring begin again with all of the blaze of life. Summer and winter, hot and cold, life and death, color and blackness. Without one, the other can't exist. In Genesis 1, in the Hebrew Bible, there's a story about how the world was created by God. And it says that everything was unformed, and that darkness was over the face of the deep, and the world was without form and void. And God said there should be light in the darkness, and He separated light and darkness. It's a wonderful metaphor. Creation didn't destroy the darkness. It didn't throw it away or say that it had no value. It used it. As human beings, we may be called to bring light into the world, to help rectify and heal things that are broken. But you can't see the light without the darkness. Darkness becomes the canvas that we create with light. We are living chiaroscuro, living artworks made of highlights on a dark background. Each moment of your life, each day, each year, each life echoes the greater order of the universe. The spring of childhood, the winter of age, each moment, each frame echoes the same. Darkness and cold are absolutely not the end. They are the breath that refreshes and renews us, the deep silence that lets us stop spinning, the deep silence that lets us hear the symphony of the universe. Dare to pause. Dare to breathe. Dare to experience that nourishing darkness. Amen.